Botai, welcome. It's Erev Shabbat Kodesh. We're in the Deal Studios. broadcasting live. Baruch Hashem, it's a year of Haftarot, over a year. And we're knocking them off. Last year, if you remember, it was a rare situation. Hukat and Balak were connected. It was Mechubarim. And as a result, we read the Haftarah of Balak last year. But we did not read Hukat. So consider ourselves lucky that we can come today. Hukat is a single parasha this year, and it's a classic. The Navi is in the book of Judges, the book of Shofetim, Perek 11, and we're going to read 33 Pesukim. Overview of the Haftarah, it's talking about the Jewish people are being attacked by Ammon. Bnei Yisrael went through their bouts with Avodah Zarah, and that's why Borei Olam was punishing them, but then they made Teshuvah. Once they made Teshuvah, they needed a leader to come along and help them fight and push back Ammon. They're going to find a leader by the name of Yiftach. Yiftach HaGiladi. Exactly. And although the Gemara does not have so much favorable things to say in the sense of Yiftach's Gadlut, the Gemara says you have to respect every leader in his generation. The leader is according to the generation, and the generation is according to the leader. The Gemara says in the classic example, Yiftach bedoro kishmuel bedoro. That Yiftach and his generation, you have to compare him like Shmuel and his generation. Not to say that Yiftach was like Shmuel. Shmuel is Shmuel. But that's what you have. And they make that comparison between Yiftach and Shmuel to show that even though Shmuel was the greatest and Yiftach was not so the greatest, but still he's the generation leader, you have to give him the respect. Although today, through a beautiful analysis, we're going to see how great really this man Yiftach was. The connection between this parasha and Parashat Hukat will be obvious. Yiftach is going to make some negotiations with Ammon before he goes to fight them. The law is you try to make peace first before you have to attack, and he's going to recall some history, because Ammon is going to come along and say, hey, you took my land. Nothing changes. Still the Arabs today, 2,000 years ago, they were still saying the same broken record. You took my land. And Yiftach methodically explains why we didn't take the land of Ammon. He's going to explain it to them. You don't know how to learn the Pesukim in the Torah correctly. If you learn the Tanakh right, you'll see that we didn't take anybody's land. We actually took the land of Sihon. We weren't allowed to take your land, actually. Ammon and Moab was actually off limits. And Sihon came along and attacked and swallowed up Ammon, and we swallowed up Sihon. So therefore, if you have any claims, you know, you didn't exist. We ate up Sihon. And in the middle of that story, he mentions what we read in the parasha, and we talked about this morning at length. And we sent messengers to Edom. And we told Edom, we want to cross through your land. And they said no. And then we went to Sihon and we asked them, we want to have rites of passage through your land. And Edom said no, which is in this week's parasha. So then for the Haftarah, we'll have a deja vu of what we read in the parasha, of how he recalls the story of how Moshe and Bnei Yisrael asked to pass through and they said no. That's the simple connection. There might be some other subtle connections that we'll dig up as well. Now let's start the Pesukim. Each one of these Pesukim is a treasure. The Yiftach HaGiladi. Haya Gibor Hayil. So number one, the Navi refers to him as Gibor Hayil. On a simple explanation, we understand that to mean strength. Gibor Hayil meaning he has koach. And he was a warrior. Vihu ben Isha Zona. Oh, here we start again. Exactly with Rahav. Now the Navi tells us that he was the son of Zonah. Different explanations over here. So let's go one at a time. One interpretation, which is the simple interpretation that the Radak brings down, if you have Radak in front of you, Ben Pilegish. That's a concubine, which is legitimate. It just, the difference is that a Pilegish is does not have ketubah and kiddushin like a regular wife. But it's a designated wife. It's not considered isud. In the olden days, Pilegish was 100% mutar.
She spent the same?
Yeah. She spent, probably, yeah, for sure. That doesn't change either. Pinegas probably spends more. But the point is, that's one interpretation. The Targum, if you have Targum in your books, I don't, but Targum explains Pundakita. Pundakita means that she sold Mizonot. She gave her Mizonot, meaning Zona Melashon Mizonot. If you remember when we learned by the Haba Zonah, some learned the Haba Zonah, she sold Mizonot, that she wasn't a regular Zonah. And then they learned the same thing over here. But the beautiful explanation that I found is actually from Rabbeinu Bahya. Rabbeinu Bahya has a beautiful explanation in Parashat Masreh on the Pasuk, I think it's in Perek Lamidvav Pasuk Het. There it's talking about how in the olden days, they were very strict that you only marry into your tribe. And the law was that the ladies would marry into their tribe. And if a lady would marry outside her tribe, even though, of course, it's 100% legal marriage, it's not asur, you know, it's not the kiddushin is tofsin, it's definitely a legitimate kiddushin. However, she would forfeit the inheritance from her family once she jumped ship to a different tribe. And Rabbeinu Bahya says over here, and I quote, "Umitamze." Bebat yoreshet, a girl that has Yerusha, let's say, kishita'avor al ze, when she transgresses, v'tirtzel hin nasel shevet acher, and she wants to marry a different tribe, shayu korin ota zona, they would call her zona, not that others know she was a real zona, but it means that she jumped ship, she went for love, she went to a different tribe and broke the minhag. And she would in turn lose her inheritance that was coming down from her father's side. Vezeu shekatav Rabbeinu Bahya v'yiftach ha-giladi haya gibor hayil v'hu ben isha zona. What does it mean, isha zona? Ki imoshen yiftach hayta bat yoreshet nahala. She was getting a nice inheritance from her father. V'niset leshevet acher. And she ended up marrying Yiftach's father was from a different tribe. Ki en hakavana zona mamash. Chas v'shalom to say zona mamash. Chas v'chein tergem Yonatan. So the Rabbeinu Bahya goes with Targum Yonatan that Isha ben zona over here is that she married outside of her tribe. So because that we have three interpretations of it, Rabotai, let's review. Interpretation number one, zona means what? That she sold Mezonot, Pundekita. Another explanation that we said, Zona is what? That she's a Pilegesh. And the third explanation we said, Rabbeinu Bahya, I mean she married outside of the Shevet. Now, if that's the case, Abotai, if you look at the Pasuk says, Vayolid Gilad et Yiftach. Gilad has Yiftach. That means they're putting the father of Yiftach as Gilad. So there's different interpretations. What is it saying over here? So one interpretation is, if you learn that it was Isha Zona Mamash, so we learned in the Halakha that a Zona, she's not careful. If she's Mizaneh to this one, she'll be Mizaneh with somebody else. So how do you know who the father is? Which means just because the father of Yiftach was with this lady, she could have been with other men as well. So the Pasuk is coming to say, no, we know for a fact that Vayolid Gilad et Yiftach. But we're not learning that she was a Zonah, because we didn't see really, most of the commentators didn't say that. So it comes to say like this, that even though she was a Pilegesh, everybody knew that she is Gilad was the father, which means don't think that even though there wasn't a Kiddushin and a Ketubah, everybody knew that this was his wife, and if it was known, Yiftach was the son of Gilad. There's a beautiful explanation from the Kehilot Yaakov, and he comes along and says, "Vayodid Gilad Yiftach," because we're going to see that Yiftach is going to have superb characteristics. He's going to have very good midot. And the Kabbalah writes that it goes according to the Kavanah of the father at the time of the Tashmish. What is he thinking? If he's thinking for ta'ava, then it's compromised. But if he's thinking that he should have imprint on the zera that he's going to put into his wife, the proper codes, meaning of midot tovot, so therefore it'll have an effect. So the pasuk is saying over here, vayoled Gilad et Yiftach. The reason why Yiftach became a great man is because his father, at the time of the Holadah, had the proper Kavanah. Fine. Now, what happens? Amazing thing. Everything comes down the Botai, as you know, to the lowest common denominator, which the lowest common denominator always is what? Money. Anytime there's a mahloket, meaning of substantial mahloket, it's always around what? Mula, the greenbacks. And this is no exception. What happened here? Yiftach now is born. Now his mother already lost out her nahala from her tribe. Because already, according to the opinion that says she jumped ship, the halakha was once you jump ship, you don't get any money from there. So Yiftach loses that money coming from that angle. But he wants the money now from his father's Yerusha. According to the halakha, even if you say it's a pilegish, and even if you say she jumps ship from tribe to tribe, Yiftach is 100% legally, rightfully so, entitled to Yerusha. Now there's only a few people that are going to think that he's not entitled. And who's that? Right, the other people in the will, exactly. Which means, of course, as long as there's other people that are sharing the money, they're going to figure out a reason why to tell Yiftach, sorry, you don't get the money. So the pasuk comes along and says, "Vateled eshet Gilad lo banim." The real wife of Gilad had regular sons, so therefore now he has a bunch of half brothers. Yiftach. Vayigdelu bnei haisha. What happens? They grew up. When they were young, they didn't know what money was. As they started to grow up, they saw their father had some money. They saw there was a will. So what did they do? Vaygareshu et Yiftach. They chased away Yiftach. Vayomru lo, they told them, lo tenhal bebet abinu. You're not getting anything from our father. Ki ben isha aheret ata. They told them, you come from a different wife. Now again, if you look at the Mefarshim over here, the Radak, for example, says, clearly, v'shelo kedin hayu migarshin oto. It was shelo kedin. For the simple reason, ki ben hapilegesh yoresh. But again, you can, you know, distort the halakha in order to make it sound like you're right. Furthermore, he says the Radak, and even if you want to say that he came from, she married into a different tribe, and even if you want to tell me that she loses her original chelek in her original tribe, however, she does not lose the chelek that belongs to her from her husband. And he says, "V'hine nasa Gilad isha acheret meshifto, v'haya ze avel." It was considered an injustice. Ki haya ra'ui shiyaresh emahem. Really, the right was in with Yiftach. Now, here's the gadut of Yiftach, Rabotah, which is probably the main theme of this whole story. Most people, 9 out of 10 people, would now do what most families do when there's money dispute. Go to war. No, not fight. Go to war.
World war.
Hazak Baruch. World war. World war. Which means, especially if you're right. Especially if you're right. Don't mind, I should give them money. And especially in Yiftach's case, he's bald now on both sides. Because his mother lost inheritance from the original tribe. And now they're trying to skunk him out of his inheritance on this side. So basically, Yiftach is going to be broke from everywhere. So the rule would be, hazmana. We're Jewish people. We're not going to go to secular court. Send him in hazmana to the Bedin. You want to let the rabbis come along and discuss the case. Instead, over here, the pasuk says something amazing. What did he do? Vayibrach Yiftach mepene Ehav. Yiftach ran away from his brother. That's exactly why he ran away, because he did not want to make mahloket. Yiftach was a good man. He overcame his desire to be right and to get the money, but he said, you know what? Families are destroyed like this. I don't want to be involved in mahloket. And Rav Chaim Panachi says, when you see a mahloket, you have to run away like you're running away from fire. He says, you have to run away like there's a fire. So vayibrach, meaning like it was danger. Now, where does he go? He goes to a place that's called Eretz Tov. So I saw a beautiful explanation. Why do I care that the Eretz was called Eretz Tov? He ran away to, you know, to the Ashkenazim, so you hope it's, what do you have to say? Eretz Tov. So I saw a beautiful explanation. Because every day of the creation, it says, Vayar Elohim Kitov, except on Monday. On Monday, on the second day of the creation, it doesn't say Kitov. Why doesn't it say Kitov? Because on that day, Borei Olam divided the waters. Borei Olam put the Rakia, it says, Vihi Mavdil Ben Mayim Lemayim. Whenever there's Havdalah, whenever there's division, there cannot be Tov. And therefore, what do you see? That wherever there is Shalom, where there's Shalom, there can be Tov. So therefore, the Pasuk is saying that because Yiftach chose to be peaceful and not get involved and muddy himself in Mahloket, so the Pasuk says he went to Eretz Tov. Meaning he went to the land of Tov, and he went to the land of peace. Now, I saw Yerushalmi over here. Yerushalmi comes along and says that really the name of this city was not Tov. The Yerushalmi in Masechet Shvi'it in Perek Tet Zayin Amud Bet, I'm sorry, on Daf Tet Zayin Amud Bet, calls it Susita. Susita. That's the name of a place. So the Gemara says, Ve'lama nekra shemo tov. So why does it call it Tov? Shepatur min ha-ma'asrot. Amazing Yerushalmi. Why is it called Tov? Because it's exempt from ma'asrot. And the question, because it's Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz patur. So that's called Tov. I thought Tov is when you can do the mitzvot. And here the Yerushalmi say, beautiful, you're exempt. So I saw over here a beautiful explanation. I saw a beautiful explanation exactly why it was called Tov, that is patur from ma'asrot. The explanation is like this. Really, whenever we call Eretz Yisrael Eretz, Eretz usually is Nekeva. Usually, it can go either way, but usually whenever we talk about the land being good, we say Eretz Tova. Eretz Tova Urhaba, Berit Betorah. Tova Ha'aretz, Me'od Me'od, like we read by the Meragelim. Bediuk. Very rarely when we refer to Aretz do we use a male word. Here it calls the Eretz Tov. It should say Eretz Tova. So I saw in the Sefer Hartzevi that he says the reason why it changed it because the word is Haser. Instead of calling it Tova, it called it Tov to show that it's patur from something. Whenever you see a word that's Haser, that shows you there's a something missing. So therefore, if it had Ma'asrot, it would have said Eretz Tova. The fact that it only calls it Eretz Tov, so what? Where's the Tova? Must be it's missing something. Beautiful explanation. And I saw, even more beautiful, that what is it missing? It's missing a hair. Because Chutz La'aretz is patur from five different things that are connected to the aretz. And they are Tiruma, Ma'asir Rishon, Ma'asir Sheni, and they're also peturim from Bikurim and Hala. So the five items are alluded to in the missing of the head. But there's yet another interpretation. Right. According to the beautiful explanation here. Why is Eretz usually referred to as Nekeva? Especially in the Kabbalah, always the land is referred to Malchut. Malchut is compared to Nekeva. The simple explanation is because the land, the land receives. Exactly. When it rains, so the rain is like a male that's fertilizing the ground. The rain comes down to Havdil like Zera, and the ground is receiving, the ground is passive. So therefore in that, they compare the rain to the ground as hatan nikrat kala. That the hatan is the rain and is greeting the kala, which is the earth. And then what happens? Just like the female reproduces, who reproduces? The earth. The earth produces the land. Mother earth produces. We call mother earth. We don't call it father earth. Mother earth wife, because it's nekeba. That's a simple explanation. But there's a deep explanation why the Mikubalim refer to Eretz as nekeba. And we said like this. What's the reason why we're so strict in Eretz Yisrael that you got to give terumot and masrot and bikurim and halah? The explanation is because these things are very dear to a person, especially bikurim, the first fruits that he has. Halah, he's making halah, it's his first dough. Rishit aritzotechem. And also maaser. Maaser is a nice hefty tax from his yield. And he has to give all the maaser sheni, that's a tax on a tax. He has to give another 10% and go to Yerushalayim. Why? The explanation is to drill into the dweller of Eretz and the farmer, nothing belongs to you. Lahashem, Ha'aris, Umlo'ah, you own nothing. Like the Zohar HaKadosh refers to the Nekeba, Let Megermeh Klum. You have nothing. So the Terumah over here comes to hint to you, or the Ma'asrot comes to remind you, I have nothing. So therefore, the Eretz had that Chokmah. We say, Avirah the Eretz Yisrael Mahkim. What does it mean? What type of chokmah did the land of Eretz Yisrael give the person? It gave him the chokmah that what? I don't own anything. You could work, but everything belongs to God. That's Avirat Eretz Yisrael Mahkim. So therefore, if the Pasuk would have came along and said what? It's objective. If the land would have came along and said what? Eretz Tovah in Nekeva. That would mean that land is hayav in all these things. It's hayav in Bikurim, because it's like a nekeva. It doesn't have anything of its own. But the fact that the Pasuk chose to call it Eretz Tov, it's like a zachar. A zachar has. The zachar already has. He's not lacking. He gives. He's the mashpia. So therefore, Adrabah, the fact that it calls Eretz Tov, the Yerushalmi learns from here, we learn it's patur from Ma'asrot. Understand? The fact that it said Eretz Tov, the fact that it says, oh, I got to say, no, I can't say it. Next week, by the way, we'll do it in the library. No more time. Next week in the library. That's okay. Discussed that already. So therefore, that's why it's called Eretz Tov. Eretz Tov, even with Eretz Tovah, it would have been compared to the Nekeba. The Nekeba, we say, what? Has nothing of its own. Therefore, that's what gives the Ma'asrot away. I don't own anything. All belongs to Hashem. The fact that it's called Eretz Tov, it's saying that this land has a Bechina of what? Zachar. Zachar is what? The Mashpia. And therefore, from here we learn that Eretz Tov, it was not. Now the question is, why did he go to such a place? So I found over here an amazing chidah. I saw an amazing chidah. He says like this. Iftah was a Sadiq. He was running away from Mahloket. He didn't want to start a fight with his brothers. Even though he was right. And if he would have went to the court, they would have told him, you're Yoresh. But he said, I'm not fighting, because once you take your brothers to court, already there goes the whole family. So he said, you know what? I'm going to run to Eretz Tov. But why do you have to run to Chutz La'aretz? Run to go to Tiberia, go to somewhere local. So Rav Chida says something beautiful. He writes, because if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you're patur from Ma'aser Sheni. If you're patur from Ma'aser Sheni, that means you don't have to go to Yerushalayim. And you might bump into your brothers. He didn't want to bump into them. He didn't want to have any Hasbe Shalom Nisayon that he meets them, and he brings from the Tosafot that says if you live in Chutz La'aretz, even patur from going to the Shalosh Regalim. So he's patur from Re'iyah. So therefore he said, I'm staying in Chutz La'aretz davka to avert the mahloket. And that's why he says the Pasuk calls him in Pasuk Aleph of our Haftarah, Gibor Hayil. Gibor Hayil is Milashon Ezwa Gibor HaKoveshet Yitzro. That even though everybody has a ta'aba for money, everybody wants money, but he said, you know what? Mahloket is the worst item, and therefore I'd rather sacrifice everything, and I'm going to go put myself in a situation where I don't even have a hashad that I'll bump into my brothers, because I'm an Eretz Tov Shepatun and Ma'asrot. And if it's Patun from Ma'asrot, then Yerushalmi says, there's no chance I'll ever see them again, which is a, in his mind, is a good thing. The Gemara comes along and says, Me'idi actually, Le'olam al yeh adam mazmin atzmo l'machloket. A person should not be inviting himself to machloket. Ela yeboreach emenu. Just run from it. It's dangerous. Ve'yasim chelko ba'aluvin ve'enam olbin. Put yourself in the defense, not on the offense. Derech schot amnu, like the rabbi said, en ha'olam mitkayem ela b'mi shebolem atzmo mish'at b'riba. The world stands on who? That somebody that keeps quiet and doesn't answer at the time of Meriba. Comes Rav Ben Ishai. Ben Ishai and Benayahu. He says something beautiful. He says, what does it mean? Ena olam mitkayem ela almi shebolem atzmo mish'at Meriba. What's the pshat Meriba? So he says, there's two words you see in Tanakh. When Avraham Avinu was fighting with Lot, Avraham wasn't fighting at all. Lot, Ro'eh Lot were fighting with Ro'eh Avraham. So the Pasuk says, Vahi Riv, Ben Ro'eh Mekneh Avraham, U Ben Ro'eh Mekneh Lot. There was a Riv. So what does Avraham tell Lot? Al na tehi miriva. So Ben Ishai says, it started off Riv. So why does he call it Al na tehi miriva? So he says, in the beginning of a mahloket, when it's still small, it's a reeve which is masculine. Masculine doesn't reproduce. It's a reeve. You can cut it right over there. It doesn't have reproduction in the beginning. You could break the, nip it in the bud and get rid of it. But if you let the mahloket fester, what ends up happening? The reeve turns into a miriva. Miriva already has perot. Now already it's a female. It's feminine. Now already it starts to multiply. As the pasuk says, poter mayim Reshit Medon. What does it mean, Poter Maim Reshit Medon? So the way the Mefarshim, the Ben Ishai explains it, is like this. In the beginning, when you have a little crack, so in the dam, so the water is trickling out. So in the beginning, Poter Maim, you could poter yourself from the water. You could just patch it up. Reshit Medon. In the beginning of a Mahloket, Reshit Medon, the beginning of a Mahloket, you could poter yourself from the Maim. It's like a little crack. If you settle it, it'll go away. However, once already you let the crack get bigger and bigger, finish, you can't patch it up anymore. And that's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Hai tigra damer lebitka demaya. A mahloket is similar to a crack in the dam. Kevan de ravach, ravach. Once already it expands and you can't put the water back. Now it's too late, but they tell, why didn't you seal it in the beginning? So therefore, the Ben Ishai says, there's two different types of mahlokot. It's one type of mahlokot that one, where somebody says something derogatory about you, but you don't have what to answer. You don't have what to answer. There's no way you can answer. Let's say he says something emet about you. He says something that's true about you, but it's derogatory, but it's true. So you can't answer because the guy's a bad guy. He embarrassed me, but it's true. That's a leave. You have nothing to answer. But sometimes the Mahloket is bebechinat miriva, where you have what to answer. That's called the miriva because already it's a back and forth. Already he said something and you have what to return. That's already a miriva because it has what to grow. So it says, when a person has what to say, that's called sha'at miriva. And he's bolem atzmo b'sha'at miriva, which means where he could have made the mahloket flourish. He could have answered something back in order to, but he said, I don't want this to turn into a meriva. Then already what happens? The olam stands for this person. And tole'eretz al belima. And that's why you're going to see over here something incredible. Eventually what's going to happen, it's a world record. We never got more people in Haftarah. If we can eke out 2.5 people for Haftarah class, we're happy. Today, Baruch Hashem, sold out crowd. Next week in the ballroom, Rabotai. So therefore, you're going to see Yiftach over here did something amazing. He was Boreach Men HaMachloket. And you're going to see Tole Eres, in his Zechut, he's going to take the Jewish people to war, and he's going to bring the Eres back to them. All because why? He was Gibor Chayil. The Gibor Chayil of Yiftach was not only in his physical strength, and his Midot, exactly. It's a new way of looking at Yiftach. Yiftach over here had tremendous, tremendous kohot. So the pasuk comes along and continues. Vayitlakitu el Yiftach, anashim rekim, vayitzu'imu. What happened? The place that he was, it wasn't such tamid hachemis, what's the artist? And Yiftach, they attracted themselves to him. Who attracted themselves to him? Anashim rekim. What's anashim rekim? Rekim min ha-mitzvot, I'm an artist, regular folk over there. But what ended up happening? He ended up creating for himself like a mafia. He ended up getting a bunch of group of guys, and they were bandits, exactly. And he was the... Exactly. But the point was, Yiftach started to create an army of these people over here. Now look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works over here. So the pasuk comes along and says, like this. Vehi miyamim vayilachamu b'nei Amon im Yisrael. B'nei Amon were fighting with Israel, and there was no leader, there was no shofet. And b'nei Amon, a big nation, and they were terrorizing b'nei Israel. So what happened? Vehi ka'asher nilchamu b'nei Amon im Yisrael vayilichu ziknei Gilad Lakahat et Yiftach me'eres tov. They said, wait, there's only one guy that can save us over here. A strong guy, Gibor Hayil, he's got an army, he's powerful,
smart.
So therefore they said, we gotta go to Eres Tov and we gotta go pick up Yiftach. Now over here, it's not gonna be such an easy way to convince Yiftach. After they threw him out, they cut him out of the will. They disrespected him. They told him, you're from Ben Isha Acheret. And now, he himself washed his hands with everything. Now they're going to call him back when they need him. So it's not like they're coming to reconcile with Yiftach. They're coming because they need him. So the pasuk says over here, Vayomeru leYiftach, lecha ve'ayita lanu lekatzin, b'nei lachama b'nei Amon. Now this is amazing. They say, listen, we want you to be our leader. And you'll help us fight with B'nai Amun. Now, the way that Abarbanel explains the proposition that they made with him was, we want you to be our leader. Just go fight B'nai Amun for us. And if you win, we'll make you our leader. Yiftach doesn't accept such a proposition. Yiftach is going to say back, hold it. If I go fight and win the war, I'm the leader without you making me the leader. Who's going to be the leader? If I win the war, I'm the leader. So you're giving me something that belongs to me anyway? That doesn't do anything for me. Vayomer Yiftach Zigilad. And number first, he tells the Zikinim, Halo atem sinetem oti. You hated me. Vategareshuni mebet avi. And you kicked me out of my father's house. Madua batim elai ata ka'asher tsar lachem. Now you're in trouble. Tsar lachem. Now all of a sudden, Yiftach, we love you. Baruch haba, baruch haba. Yeah. Now the Mefarshim say, hold it. What do you mean atim sinetim oti? Who came to solicit Yiftach? No, the family didn't come. It said Ziknei Gilad came. Ziknei Gilad, the elders. So they should answer back, hey, listen, what happened with your family? Don't take that on us. We got nothing to do with it. But they don't answer that. Explanation is because they had something to do with it. The Mefarshim say, the Madbim says, and the Radak and others, that these were the men of the Sanhedrin. These were the rabbis that came to get Yiftach. So Yiftach said, you saw the injustice and you didn't say anything. So atem sinemoti. You saw what they did to me. I didn't want to make machloket. I left the place over there. But you sided with my brothers. Because if you were real rabbis, you would have came along and told my brothers, hey, he's Yoresh, give him the money. I didn't want to make mahloket, but you didn't defend me at the time. So, atem sene'etem oti, meaning as the leadership, you didn't defend me. And now all of a sudden, when you need me, you come along and say, hey, Yiftah, we need you to come fight the war. So Yiftah was, I'm not going to say he's offended, because I'm going to explain it nicely, because we know Yiftah had good midot. Yiftah had good midot. But listen what happens. Vayomeru zikne Gilad el Yiftah. Now look at the answer. The answer is very, very hard to understand. There's no way to get out of this here. What are they going to say? Exactly. What are you going to say now? You can't say it. They got him. So they answer something that it's probably better if they didn't say it. That's why we came to you. So it's almost if they're doubling down. They're saying, Lachin, yeah, you're right.
That means
why? No, Lachin means therefore. Therefore, now we came to you. Come with us. You'll fight with Bnei Amon. After you fight and win, again, they tell him, you'll be the leader. And the question is, what did they say more in this rehash? They try to rehash it. And to me, it sounds they only made it worse. They're saying, oh, listen, that's why we came. So I saw an explanation like this. It's a very important yesod that says that even though everything that happens for the best, kol akava letova, kol David rahmana letava avid, everything is for the best. And the classic example they give is from the guy that his cow broke his leg. Nishpira parato shel piloni. What happened? The guy's cow was walking, and all of a sudden there was like a ditch, and the cow fell in the ditch. And once the cow falls in the ditch, broke his leg. Once it breaks his leg, rahat the cow, rahat the cow. So now the guy says, "Oy va'avoy, what did Hashem do to me?" As he goes in the ditch to take the cow out, he sees a treasure. So he says, "Wow, the luckiest thing that ever happened to me, that Hashem broke the leg of the cow in order to reveal to me the treasure," which means that sometimes things look like they're very bad, but actually, they're very good. The classic example that we see in the Torah was by Yosef. You remember Yosef was sold by the brothers, and they left him. They left him to die. Many years later, when they come to Yosef and they beg him, please, don't do anything, forgive me. Yosef says, what are you talking about? Atem ashavtem alai lera'a. Elohim ashava letova. They look. Hashem obviously made everything turn out good. So even though your intention was bad, but there's nothing bad, Hashem brought me actually to become the Adon Nechom Mitzrayim. I saved the country from famine. Now I'm going to bring my father down to Mitzrayim in a red carpet, set you all up properly. Everything is filled. What looks bad is actually always a blessing in disguise. And that's what we learn from. And therefore, Yosef, how can I hold grudges to you? Even though your intention was good, you brought me to my destiny. So these were rabbis over here. The rabbis were saying over here, says, listen, you're going to become now the leader of Klal Yisrael in a second. Ultimately, what your brothers did to you, they brought you to this greatness. It's because you were bolem, because you kept quiet mishat meriva, and you went to Eretz Tov, and you said you're not going to make a mahloket, tole Eretz al merima, you are now going to be the one that God is going to tole the whole Eretz on. So therefore, lachen, that's why we came to you, which means because you went through the difficulty, because this happened, which means don't hold it against us. You see, it was all Mar Shemaim. Hashem wanted you to become, the only way for you to become the leader was you had to go through this tahalich. But look, at the end, and then we're coming back to you. From here you learn a great lesson. The great lesson that we learn over here is brought down by Rav Chida in his Pirush on the Pirkei Avot. He says like this. The Mishnah Pirkei Avot says in Perek Dalet, Al tihi baz lechol adam, she'en lecha adam, she'en lo sha'a. Don't be baz. Don't ever mistreat a person. Why? She'en lecha adam, she'en lo sha'a. Because everybody's going to have his moment. So Rav Chida explains it deep. He says like this: Borei Olam has a way that the one that you mistreated, it'll happen 9 out of 10 times. You're gonna need that person one day, and now that you're gonna need him, you're gonna be in charge. Hashem makes it medavka like that. You can say, "What am I gonna need this guy? Jump at the leg." So he says, "Who's the classic example? Yiftach." The brothers said, "What are we ever going to need this Yiftach for? He's Ben Isha Zonah. What is the guy? Let him run away. Good luck to you." When he ran away, did the brothers stop him? It's your brother. They should have told him, Yiftach, it's only money. We'll sell it. They told him, good luck, good riddance. And he went to Eretz Tov, and they thought that he'll never need him. But Borei Olam makes it, all of a sudden, there's a fight in Bnei Amon. And the only one that can fight the war is Yiftach. So the Hachamim, when they came back to him, they tell him, "Lachen sha'ata shavdim, because we hated you, that's why we have to come back to you. Don't you know the rule? Because we were baz lechol adam, ve'en le'gadam she'en lo sha'ay. What do you think? We know what we did. And now we're eating it," basically they're saying. "Now we have to eat it. We know why we're eating it over here. That's why we had to come back to you." We say, "Adrabah, because we hated you, because we wronged you, this is the part of the Hashkaha. Borei Olam now brought us back to you in order to show that we made a mistake. Lachen shavnu elecha." So there's two ways of looking at lachen. Either what happened to you actually was the cause for you to become great. Therefore, lachen shavnu elecha. Because you were hated and because you acted like a gibor chayil and you didn't make mahloket, lachen shavnu elecha. That's what we came to. So therefore, don't look at it as a bad thing. The cow's leg broke and you reach your destiny because of it. And secondly, we're guilty if we're coming to that shows us we were baz to you. And in the ka adam she'en lo sha'ah, this is your sha'ah now. Now we have to come. And the connection, Rav Gamliel Rabinovich brings down that the connection between this and our parashah was, you remember what happened in this week's parashah, because the haftarah, it's a beautiful story, but it's connected to a parashah. What happened in the haftarah and the parashah? The people come along and tell Moshe, "Take us back to Mitzrayim, lama ha'ilitunu," and all that. Now what happens? They get sick. Now they need Moshe to come along and take the snake and get the better. So he says, "Al tihi baz. You were baz to Moshe, and all of a sudden you come into it, you're crying, please. Oh, now you need me. All of a sudden you told me, take me back to Egypt. What did you do to me? Now bring the serpent in order to get me better." So if you see, be careful. What goes around, comes around. So that's the explanation, the way they say over there. Now watch this. We're learning good tonight. Oh, Elohim Yudkesh Yudaf. Rabbi Gamliel brings that down too. Elohim Yudkesh Yudaf. That's a lesson also, he says. Thank you, Rabbi Shemesh. He says that Yiftach, they turned him into a Nirdaf. Never turn your enemy into a Nirdaf. That means he's the one being pursued. Because once he's being pursued, Borei Olam will always side with the Nirdaf. So now they made Yiftach to a Nirdaf. That means always keep your enemies close to them. Don't make them Nirdafim. Because once the Nirdaf, now the momentum switches. Now the momentum is with them. Now watch what the Pasuk says. So the Pasuk comes along and says, "Listen, we're here. It's Min HaShamayim. We want you to go fight and be our leader." So Yiftach says, "Vayomer Yiftach Zifnei Gilad, if you're going to make me fight and put me to fight against Bnei Amon, v'natan Hashem otam lefanai, and I'm successful," look at, he believed in God. And God will, very, very rare do you find a general that talks like that. V'natan Hashem otam lefanai, and God will deliver them. Anuchi ehiye lachem derosh. He's saying this rhetorically. He's saying, I don't need you to make a deal that if I win, you'll make me the Rosh. If I win, I'm the Rosh by default. So what are you giving me? You're giving me something that I would get anyway. So they changed the deal. Vayomeru ziknei Gilad el Yiftach, Hashem yeshomea benotenu. They make a shivua. Im lo kedvarecha ken na'aseh. You got it. Which means we're going to make you the leader before the war, unconditional of the outcome. וילך יפתח עם זקנם גלעד וישימו העם אותו עליהם לראש ולקצין before the war. Now stop right there. That's the way Avad Benel learns these pesukim. Without that pesuk, you get confused in the pesukim. But that's the pshat over here. So comes over here, beautiful explanation from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. And this is one of the classic Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. He says, what happened to our tzaddik Yiftach? This is a guy that runs away from Mahlokit. He doesn't want to fight. And all of a sudden, it sounds like he's Mr. Kavod. Hey, if you don't make me the leader before the war, I don't need you to make me. Yiftach. So it seems, well, I guess when it came to Mahlokit, that was his strong point, but Kavod was his weak point. Everybody's perfect. He says, Chas v'shalom. Yiftach was Gibor Hayil. This has nothing to do with Kavod. Chaim says such a yesod. I recommend we have to read the Sichot Musar. Sichot Musar, Rav Chaim gave shmuzes in the Mir Yeshiva in Tafshin Lamed Aleph, Tafshin Lamed Bet, Tafshin Lamed Gimel. 3 years he gave shmuzes. And he felt that you don't have to say anything more than these shmuzes. So he just repeated the same. He felt that these build up bahurim. If you know these yesodot in human nature and psychology from the Torah, of course, that's it. There's no need to say anything else. So in this piece, he cites a Chazal. The Chazal actually comes from Vayikra Rava Chav Dalet, and it's in the Tanchuman Kiddushim. You probably have it over here. What happened? It says, one time, Rabbi Berachia Bar Simon. Rabbi Berachia went to the well to get water. And all of a sudden, there was a Ruach there. Spirit. In those days, the spirit's there. So the spirit out by the well. So the spirit tells the rabbi, and he says, "Listen, I'm here for many years, living by the well. I never bothered any of you people. My own business. I let you guys come to the well. I never bothered. There's another ruach that wants to come and kick me out of this location. And if he's going to kick me out of this location, he's going to make trouble. So I need your help." So the rabbi says, what can I do? He says, listen, he's coming tomorrow at this time. That's when he wants to make the milhama with me. Go home, bring anything that you have, like metal, that makes noise, and all different type of, different blunt objects that you could bang and make noise. And at that time, umanase, he said, amano telu makilchim umagalchem. Take your sticks, your magal, your sickles. Come tomorrow afternoon. Ve'imru, and just scream, Shelanu Natzah. Our guy's the winner. Our guy's the winner. He'll get scared and he'll run away. Sure enough, Asuken. The next day, all the tzaddikim come to the well. Our guy's gonna win. Our guy's gonna bang it. What are they doing? They're banging. And all of a sudden, Amru Lozazu Misham Ad Shira'u Kaharat Dam Tzaf Al Penehem Mayam. All of a sudden, they saw blood floating on the Mayan, as if to say, they got him. And that's it. They scared away the new Ruach, and the old Ruach was able to stay. So Rav Chaim learns from this Midrash. What could you learn from this Midrash? What in the world could you learn from this Midrash? He comes along and says, what does this mean over here? Basically, he's asking people to come along and root him on. They're not fighting the Ruach. They're just coming along and saying, our guy's the guy! Nidan Natsah! Our guy's the guy! So he says, even Ruhot need Hizuk. Which means, why did he win the war against that other Ruah? Because he had a bunch of guys screaming in the background, you're going to get him! You're going to win! He says, if a Ruah benefits by getting the Hizuk of the people, could you imagine what a human being, everybody gets Hizuk? He says, how important people, you need Hizuk. People need encouragement. People need a positive word. People need a Ruach, the spirit. And the guy says, listen, I can't win unless I have some people behind me, rooting me on. So Rav Chaim brings two examples. In Chinuch Yiladim, of course, to encourage the positive encouragement. He says, a guy came to the rabbi, his wife, he just got married. And his wife was a terrible cook. So every day he would come home with the food from the restaurant. He thought he was doing himself a favor. My wife does not a cook. She doesn't have to cook. I'll just eat the food from the restaurant. So the rabbi told him, he says, now it's easy, but you're creating a problem for the long term over here because you're just reinforcing to your wife that she's a bad cook. And therefore, eventually you have a big family and she's not going to be functional. Ella what? You have to encourage her. By going and taking food from the outside, you're basically saying you're a failure. Of course, it's going to take time. But the point is, everybody needs an encouragement. So he says, what was Yiftach doing over here? And he brings Ra'iot from all places over there. He says, what was he doing over here? He was doing over here like this. Yiftach said, what do you think? I'm not a human being. You kicked me out. I'm demoralized. I had to run away. I'm a broken guy. Now all of a sudden you think, come be our leader. Fight the war and then we'll be behind you. He said, no. A human being needs chizuk. I need you to show that you're behind me before we start. I need you to show me that you're going to support me and that you're behind the. If I know that you're behind me from before unconditionally, then I'll be able to have the courage to go fight the war. But if I'm a guy who was chased away, and I know that I was despised of my family, the rabbi didn't defend me, now you're coming and using me, I'm a broken man. Give me a vote of confidence. He wasn't looking for kavod. Show me that you believe that I can do the job. If you believe that I can do the job, you'll make me the leader now, unconditionally. Yiftach was trying to guarantee them a victory by guaranteeing him the confidence that he needed. And he quotes from Avtzadik HaKohen. Avtzadik HaKohen has an unbelievable line. Tzadik HaKohen writes and said, Kata Tzadik, Keshem Shetzarich HaAdam Lehaamin BaHashem Yitbarach, Kach Sarich Aharkach Lehaamin BaAtzmo. Just like you have to believe in Hashem, you have to believe in yourself also. Which means you have to have confidence that you can do it. And he writes that most of the people who don't do great things is because they say to themselves, I can't do it, I'm not capable, I'm not... So, Rav Chaim Zaitchik, our great rabbi, Alav Shalom, he says something beautiful, how we don't understand the kohot that human being has. He quotes from one of the rabbis. One of the rabbis said that... one of the rabbis said, the Admor from Klosenberg, he said he was in the war. He says, I learned the strength that every human being has, including me, when I was in the concentration camp. He says, I remember before the war, when I had to carry 5 or 6 sefarim, big sefarim, into the Beit Midrash, I didn't have the kohot to do it. He said, when I was in the concentration camp, and they made me carry loads and loads of things back and forth, and I saw that I had the kohot. So when I came out of the concentration camp, I said to myself, I'll never second guess the strengths that I have. I just didn't realize that I had them. And Rav Zaitchik comes along and says similarly that when he was in the concentration camps, so he was talking to Goyim, and he was talking to the Goyim. Yeah, he was talking to the Goyim about Yahadut, about the way we live. And they were saying, tell us more. And that story goes for later. So anyway, the point that I was trying to connect with is for later. The point over here is what? So therefore, Yiftach, he says, was not looking for kavod. Yiftach was just telling them, I need chizuk. The classic example that everybody needs chizuk is, Rav Chaim brings it down, was by Shaul HaMelech. Remember Shaul HaMelech gets fired from his job as king after he brought back the animals? Shmuel says, you're fired. You know, that's it. God is Mahim Asicham, Yot Melech. God has despised you. Now what? Now they have to go bring the Korban. They're going to meet by the Mizbeah. So what does Shaul tell Shmuel? Come walk with me to the Mizbeah. What was he asking? Shaul's the king. He needs an escort. The explanation is he was broken. And he says, Shmuel, I had a rough day today. I lost the kingdom. Mahim Asicham, Shmuel Melech. I need now a little chizuk that you stand next to me and just show me a little support. He said, Shaul HaMelech, which was the greatest man, and he needs a chizuk from Shmuel HaNavi. Nobody should be so proud, and nobody should be so stingy not to give another guy a good word or a word of encouragement in order to push the guy. So therefore he says, Yiftach, on the contrary, Yiftach was only looking for a vote of confidence and self-confidence from the Zikanim, and then he says, I'll succeed. We'll do one more pasuk. So the pasuk says, Vayishlach, Vaydaber Yiftach et kol devarav lefnei Hashem v'mitzvah. That is amazing. It says, and Yiftach speaks all his words in front of God at Mitzvah. What did he speak? The pasuk doesn't tell us. When he went to God and he spoke to God, it's almost as if he made a tefillah. So the Mefarshim say beautiful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works over here b'midah keneged midah. He said, Borei Olam, they chose me. It's not a coincidence that they chose me. You run the world in measure for measure. I was having a milhama with my brothers, and what did I do? I desist from the milhama. I pulled away from the war. I went away to Eretz Tov. I didn't want to make a milhama. I sought to make shalom. So in that zichud, I want to call in that merit. Now that there's a milhama with Bnei Amon that's fighting with Bnei Israel, I'm asking in the zichud that I did not fight this milhama. Our enemies are all sure to go away. If I was a Baal Milhama, you're fighting, you deserve to get fight. So therefore, right after he got the okay to fight, Vayedaber Yiftach et kol devarav lefnei Hashem b'mitzpah. He went and registered a tefillah in mitzpah, and that was a tefillah. That in Zechut, that I was kovesh my yetzer not to fight against my brothers, so now I made shalom, therefore make the shalom between Am Yisrael and Amon, that they will not be able to fight against us. Okay, Rabotai, that's part one of a tremendous haftarah. God willing, we're going to have to continue this next week, even though it's not Parashat Mekah, but so what? We have a job to do. We'll finish.